Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our episode featuring Breaking Beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider hair, makeup, and skin tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Glowdown. I am Jill Dunn.
And I'm Carlene Higgins.
How's it going, Car? Car, Car.
Car, Car. Well, Jilly Willy. Everything's great. How are you?
Really good. I wanted to tease who we are talking to this week, and that is none other than Anna Newton. She has an incredible blog called The Anna Edit, also YouTube channel, also podcaster, also author, and. She's a prolific content creator.
Yeah, she's doing so well. She launched with her site in 2010.
Wow.
And
OG.
Her podcast is called At Home With, which she hosts with Lily Pebbles, who is another YouTuber. She's carved a niche for herself as a professional editor in a way.
Mm-hmm.
She edits wardrobes into sort of capsule collections. She will help edit your inbox and she will help edit your spice rack. She is amazing. And I think what people really love about her is she's just super approachable.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got great style, but it's like achievable.
Yeah. She was in town from the UK to promote the launch of her brand new book called An Edited Life. And we had her right here in the studio. We've interacted before on DM, so it was fun to actually meet her in person.
Yeah. She was like Insta friend. Mm-hmm. When she walked in, you know, it just felt like we had been friends all along.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about her book. It launched around 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about simple steps to streamlining your life, work, and home. And in our chat today, we're going to get a sneak peek on some of the most helpful takeaway tips from the book. And of course, because this is a beauty podcast, we find out which products always make the cut on Anna's top shelf.
Before we get into all of that,
something that I've been loving this week, my pop socket.
Oh yeah, I noticed your swag. You're using it.
Yeah, so I've been using this for a week. It is officially the Breaking Beauty pop socket.
Yes. Ta-da! I can't believe you've never had one.
I didn't. And I have the iPhone 8 Plus, mm-hmm. 8X, whatever it's called. So it's really wide.
Yeah.
Like I almost drop my phone on a regular basis. So this pop socket is changing my life.
It's truly a must have. Pop sockets, I've been a huge fan of them forever. And I can't believe we now have merch. It's
I know.
So exciting.
We have our logo on it. I've been using it when I'm riding the rails on the streetcar all week.
Yeah.
And I'm just so proud. I'm like, hey guys, I'm holding up my phone. Listen to Breaking Beauty podcast. So hopefully, what I think will be really fun is if we do some live events and we can give them out to audience members.
Yeah, well, we have a line on something very exciting. So, well, it's not so secret anymore. We are feeling really excited to be invited to an event hosted by Real Self at the House of Modern Beauty. And this is taking place at the same time as South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
That's right. So it's for 2 days, March 9th to 10th. It's happening on Rainy Street.
So it's the House of Modern Beauty. It's like part gallery, part spa, part boutique, complimentary treatments like fillers and other injectables, as far as I know.
Sign me up because it's all medical professionals.
Yes. Yeah. So it sounds like a beauty dream house, honestly.
Yeah.
Our panel will be moderated by one of our former guests, Jane Larkworthy. That's episode 28, if any of you guys want to go back and check it out. She is ultimate beauty pedigree. Jane was the beauty director at W Magazine for a very long time. She's currently a columnist at The Cut and L'Officiel USA. She's had her byline in Elle, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
I know.
And so incredibly wise that we are really looking forward to our chat with her.
Absolutely. And we promise to have more details in our next episode, like most especially if we can bring our pop sockets.
Yeah, exactly.
And hand them out to whoever's going to come and support.
If any of you will be in Austin during that time, please DM us and maybe we can
Do a meetup.
We can have a little tequila or something. You never know.
And a little two-step.
Yeah.
And now we're ready to get to today's featured guests. It is Anna Newton of The Anna Edit. So tell me, with your book, what was one of the things you really wanted to address based on like your fans and what they really wanted to know? And what do you think is like one of the biggest takeaways from the book?
So the book is life organization across work, life and home. And I love this genre of book, like the whole Marie Kondo thing. I feel it, like I'm into that vibe, that whole, just like edited lifestyle, living with less, decluttering. But whenever I'd read these books, they focused on one thing. They focused on just decluttering your wardrobe, or like Marie Kondo is just decluttering items. I was like, but what about, actually it's about decluttering across everything, your schedule, your self-care routine, your fitness routine, your meal planning. So I really wanted this book to have everything in, hence why it's 80,000 words. Like people open it up, they're like, wow, this is a lot of words, because it's all of my advice across all of those things. People initially were asking me about, you know, how do I store my makeup routine? Like, how do I sort through my skincare? And then people were like, actually, what do you do with your spice cupboard? It got really, you know, really granular.
So
this is like
yeah.
all of the granular details, all those like little things that we want to kind of sort out.
It's funny because now that you mentioned that, I was like, what do you do with your makeup brushes? That's my biggest thing. Like after you wash them, where do you put them? It's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. This literally has all of those little things in, like even cleaning routines. The last chapter is all about cleaning routines. It's very sexy. The biggest takeaway is hopefully it's not a rule book. I didn't want this to be, you do these 10 things and then your life is going to be like infinitely better. It's like you might read the book and just take away a couple of things, and that's cool because it's all about editing to you. Like you're the you're your own editor. It's all personal to everyone. So it's just finding that balance and harmony for yourself and not feeling like a complete failure if you don't meal plan for like a week. It's cool.
So true. I feel like, wow, you really lucked out with timing too. I feel like everybody's talking about this right now with the Marie Kondo show on Netflix.
Yes. Thank you, Marie Kondo, for coming out with the show in January.
Paved the way for you.
Thank you.
Honestly, it is so topical. My word for this year is minimalism. So I've like dug in here a little bit, not fully yet. So I need to definitely take away some of your tips.
Because, thank you.
And I like what you said. It's not rules. It's you're just like, this is what I do. And then maybe you can apply it. Whereas I find like Marie Kondo, it's just like she would judge me in my house, you know?
That's what I wanted it to be, was just like your friend giving you advice. My friends were like, can you do my wardrobe for me? Can you do this? I was like, here's a book. It's, I mean, I don't know how many dollars it's being sold for over here, $32 Canadian, whatever. Like, buy it. And it's got everything in it that you would ever want to know about, my life and how I do things. But ultimately, that might not be right for your life. And that's completely cool. And I got a lot of advice from my friends, my family, my grandma, that was also very helpful.
What's her best tip?
She, a lot of the cleaning advice came from her. And she was like the second person that I gave a book to after my parents. And she flicked through and she was like, John, that's my granddad. She's like, John, this is wrong. Like, there's a big mistake in here. I was like, oh my God, like they've already printed 5,000 of these things. Like, what's the mistake? She opened it up. There's a cleaning routine in the back with how many, you know, oh, daily you can do these things, weekly you can do these things. And I think I'd put like flip your mattress, rotate your mattress as like a bi-yearly, like do it once, twice a year, whatever. She was like, Anna, we do that once a week.
Oh my gosh.
We do that once a week. I was like, once a week? She's like, we do it every time we clean the sheets.
Oh my gosh. And she's, now we know where you got it from.
Yeah, she's 79. And up until recently, she was flipping that mattress on her own.
I can't.
No, I have to wait for my husband to come home. I'm like, you need to help me flip the mattress.
Oh
like,
my gosh, I've never flipped my mattress.
There you go.
This is the root of your sleep problems. Challenges yeah, that you've had.
Yeah, so true.
That's amazing. I feel like this is, and has it been selling in the UK already? Like, do you have a sense of how it's been going?
Yeah. So in the UK, in the first week, it was the third best-selling hardback nonfiction.
What?
Behind like a big celebrity author, a big celebrity cook that we have in the UK, and Michelle Obama.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I can take that.
Good for you.
Michelle is my like competition. Yeah. What? I will happily go behind her. Like she can be gold medal. That's completely cool.
Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of going really well.
That must be a bit surreal.
So surreal. We're on our fourth reprint.
What?
I know. It's absolutely insane.
So tell us about your podcast for people who may not have heard it before, and tell us how you met Lily.
Oh my God. Yeah. So At Home With is a podcast that I do with my fellow like content creator / blogging BFF, Lily Pebbles, who's just amazing. Also pregnant at the moment. I feel like I'm going to be an auntie soon. Yeah. I like can't wait to be an auntie.
So your content's about to change.
Yeah, exactly. She's great. I met her because we both worked in beauty PR. Mm. This is like, we're talking like 8 years ago now. But we both had blogs on the side. And I would see her at an event. And I knew, so she worked for like the rival of my company. We both worked for beauty box companies. Okay. I worked for one, she worked for another. And we had the same role within those companies.
Oh, so cool.
So my boss was being like, hey, can you go over there and like have a chat with Lily next time you see her and like find out what's going on like over at the rival company? And her boss was saying exactly the same thing to her. So they were trying to make us spy on each
other. It's like moles.
Yeah, they were trying to make us be moles. And we kept seeing each other. And then one time we saw each other at an event. I just walked over and I was like, hey, you're Lily. I'm Anna. Like, we both have the same. She was like, yes, I know you. Like, her boss had been saying the same thing. We were both like, we're not crazy about our jobs. I was like, I'm not crazy about my job either. So kind of bonded over that. And we've just been like mates, like great mates ever since. She eventually left her job to go full time on the blog. She was like, Anna, come on. It's time. You got to do it. 2 months later, I made the jump as well. And she's just such a good support. I mean, like with you guys, right? It's amazing to have that kind of buddy that gets it. And yeah, she's in the industry, so she's always such a good soundboard to have.
You've got to have some chemistry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not gonna fly.
The podcast, you guys do seasons. Is there season three in the works?
Season three. So At Home With, we go to people's houses and we have these like little Britney mics on and we walk around their houses. We've had By Terry, Lisa Eldridge, Joe Elvin, like really amazing names in the UK, and it's been incredible. Like, we're nosy. This is the whole reason we did the podcast. We're like, we're nosy. We want to see what these people's houses are like. Spoiler, they're incredible. So we've done two seasons. I mean, obviously Lily's going to be otherwise engaged. Yeah. It's really working out schedules for guests and being able to be like, can we come in your house?
Right.
Do you mind us being in your bedroom? Can we come in your bathroom? It's quite intense. So I'm not sure there'll be a season three in the current format, but I feel like me and Lily love podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can like do it in your pajamas, which is just my ultimate dream. So I think there could be a podcast in the future, but maybe not in its current format.
Okay. There's some scoop, listeners.
Yeah, there you go. Like,
that's stay tuned.
And I just have to circle back and ask you about the capsule wardrobe for a minute, because I've seen that on your site. Can you just describe what that is in a nutshell? Is it about like five key items, or how do you define that?
I've gone through many sort of, I've morphed through different kind of capsule wardrobes. I've had ones that have been very specific, like 37 items only, which to me just was impossible to live under that kind of rules and like regimen. So I'm currently at the point where I just have seasonal items kind of on display in my wardrobe at one time. I don't know what it, you guys have loads of storage over here. Like closets are a thing. Like they are not a thing in the UK.
Right.
We do not have that much storage. So we can't really have our like winter, summer, spring, like everything stuffed in a wardrobe at the same time. So currently just have all of my winter gear out. And I try not to buy things unnecessarily. I try not to buy things on impulse. And ultimately, through just having your winter stuff out on display and not having your summer stuff kind of getting in the way, you make getting ready in the mornings like so much quicker, so much easier. I feel like you buy less because you can actually see what you've got. So instead of buying like another polka dot, whatever it is, jumpsuit, you're like, oh my God, I've already got two at home. Like, what am I doing? So you can keep a better check. It's almost like you know your inventory.
Right.
And so you don't buy unnecessary things.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
And what's the one thing that you've bought over and over and over and again and you cannot be without?
Anything black. I am just like head to toe black. When I walk into Mac, they're like, excuse me, do you work here? Like, I love head to toe black. Like, I will never stop wearing head to toe black.
That's so interesting because I feel like in your photos and stuff, like one of our readers or listeners even said, ask Anna how she wears red lipstick with a pink jumper. Like, I feel like a lot of your clothes are colorful.
That was a one-off. I own one pink jumper, literally one pink jumper. And when I wear it, people are like, oh, hello, are you feeling okay? Like, yeah, that's my one pink jumper. I'm trying to experiment more. I'm really into Katie Jane Hughes.
Okay, yeah.
Do you follow her Instagram?
Yes, she's an amazing artist,
makeup artist.
Yeah, and she's got cool glasses all the time too. Oh,
and earrings, earring collection.
And her skin, ugh.
She wears color in a really classy, like glossier type of way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to push myself more into that.
Yeah.
I bought a dress that was that color. Remember that I wore to LA? The color of your sweater, which is sort of, how are we going to describe this color?
Like a rust?
Like a rust color. And I wore it with a hot pink lipstick. And it was like my favorite look of the year. I'm going to be repeating it.
Yeah.
But that's a good way to wear color without needing to invest in another item in your wardrobe.
Yeah. You know? Oh my God. I'm just all about like a bold lip.
Yeah.
I do love a bold lip. Especially, have you tried them? The Laura Mercier Extreme Velour lipsticks?
No.
They're like
a
twisty, they're almost like the new and improved NARS Velvet Matte Lip Pencils.
Oh, see, I love a matte.
I love a matte. If I'm wearing color on my lips, it's never glossy.
Me too.
No
same.
Way. But they're really amazing. They're a great formula and really easy to apply.
I'm going to try this. Now, were you always a beauty girl or did you have to, I feel like on YouTube, it's so visual, there's pressure there. Did you have to take makeup lessons or did you ever think about that?
I've never been trained officially at all. I'd be really interested to actually. I think that'd be really fun.
Me too.
But I've always loved makeup. Do you have Claire's accessories here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I was younger, my mom would work on a Saturday. My dad would take me out on a Saturday morning, me and my sister. And I'd like beg him. I'd be like, please, can we go to Claire's Accessories? Like, please, can I have blue eyeshadow? Please, can I have body glitter? Please, can I have hair mascara? I was a 90s kid, you know, like we were very into like the Britney Spears kind of thing.
Right.
And I just, I've always loved it. I can still remember what my first beauty purchases were. I'm very sentimental about makeup. Even me and Lana yesterday were like scrolling back through our Instagrams and she was showing me the first video of mine that she watched, which was very old, back in 2012, and had this like MAC Wonder Woman collection like blush powder thing. I was like, I've still got that. Like, I love makeup.
That the packaging was red, wasn't it?
Yeah, like red and blue.
Wonder Woman. So
and then
cool.
We were talking about our favorite MAC collections. Like, I love although I don't wear probably as much makeup as I used to. Yeah. I still experiment with it. I still try lots of new things. Mm-hmm. And I love, if you're really in the mood, you know, when you're in the mood to like put it on, experiment a bit, have a bit of fun. I love that. I love when you're in that moment.
And actually, I was going to ask about your top shelf. What's the one skincare item and maybe perfume that you're never going to edit out of your life?
Oh, you know what? Perfume. I'm really not a perfume girl.
Yeah.
I flip between a few. A lot of them make me feel a bit sick. So I go for very light. Do you have Eccentric Molecules over here?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that one. Mm-hmm. I really like Glossier U, actually. That's a nice kind of summery
one. I've smelled it on a couple of people. There's definitely musk in there, right?
It's a bit musky. Yeah, it's kind of fresh. It's a bit like cottony.
Yeah. Okay.
I really like that one. Skincare. Oh my. Like one piece of skincare, guys. Like I know. Putting me on the spot. I love May Lindstrom.
Oh my gosh, love. Never tried.
What?
I know, have you had I've her heard on the show? So much. No.
I want to have her on though. I'm obsessed with her on Instagram. I mean, you've been creating content for how long now? For on
9 years.
9 years. You're like a veteran.
Yeah.
It's really me. Do you ever run out of stuff to talk about?
All the time.
Yeah, do you?
All the time.
Like, so do you map it out or what do?
I mean, I am quite organized with the whole, yeah. We were saying like when you're putting content out so frequently, like you have to be quite organized about it. So I'll have moments where I think of 2 weeks worth of blog posts, like on the fly in one go. So I'm quite kind of on that. I have a little bullet journal that I write everything in.
Those are the hot thing right now.
Everyone loves a bit.
Do you have it with you? I want to take a picture of yours.
Oh my God, I don't.
Okay, that's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, it's also not a proper bullet journal. Okay. It's like I've got my own little method that I've been doing for years. Okay. And it kind of works. I use a lot of Tipex. Yeah. Do you call that white out?
Yeah, white out.
Yeah. I use a lot of white out in it. Like I really should just go like digitally with it. But I have moments where I will sit and think of maybe look at like past ones that have gone down well and people have engaged with them. Like, how can I improve on that? How can I always want my stuff to be like lighthearted, mildly entertaining and ultimately kind of inform people in some way, like what you do with your podcast. Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I do have moments where I'm like, oh, what is
what's next?
Sometimes people like on the fly kind of stuff though.
I think that whole like diary idea has become more and more popular just with like people talking to their phones, the Instagram stories, like the play-by-play of your life. People are used to that now. It's not so like, hello, welcome to my
channel. Doesn't have to be a whole
this is my
feature.
Top 5 lipsticks. People just want to know like what you're into and that's the content that I enjoy watching too.
Well, and it's like you said, if they like you, they're just curious what you're up to and
hopefully,
you know.
What about we're going to ask about influencer. I do believe.
What do you make of that? If you're called an influencer, how do you feel about that?
Because you were probably a blogger. Yes. Before, like you've seen all the incarnations of independent content creators.
Yeah.
So you were probably a blogger before. Maybe you were known as a YouTuber, no influencer. Like,
well, it's just funny because with the word influencer, nobody ever describes themselves as an influencer.
Oh, hell
right?
No,
that would hell be no. That would be really weird. If Carlene introduced herself as an influencer, I'd be like, okay,
I know, but that's so
pull you aside.
We need to have a word.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. I 100% agree with you. I think. Influencing, like Caroline talks about this really wisely. She's like, influencing someone or enabling someone to buy a product is kind of the byproduct of what we do, but it's not the aim. Like, I'm not sitting here like begging people to go out and buy a lipstick. I'm just saying, I like this lipstick. Yeah. Maybe you will too. So I understand where that term has come from, but it's something that kind of happens. It's the byproduct. It's not the aim of what we're doing here.
Right.
In the UK, we're quite into content creator.
Yeah.
Because that defines like what we do quite well. Yeah, we create content across podcasts and blogging and Instagram and all those kinds of things. It's like you said, though, it's so interesting. Over the years, it changes, it develops. Like maybe in 2 years, we'd be all laughing. We'd be like, influencer, can you believe when we used to describe people like that? It could be something new in like a year's time.
Yeah. And it's also probably a challenge to just keep, not a challenge, but you're growing up, like you're evolving your content, right? To still connect with your audience, you know, I'm sure that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Do you ever look back at your videos and just cringe?
Oh, massively.
Yeah. Do you take them down?
No. The first one is still up there because I think everyone needs to see like the journey.
Where you started.
Yeah. Rome wasn't built in a day. Yeah. Like this has taken a really long time.
I love looking at Caroline's old ones too.
Yeah. Also, people go back and people are like, Alana's got one of them on her sleeping playlist. Like she falls asleep to some of them. Like some people might still reference that video for something. Mm-hmm. So I don't ever get rid of videos. Yeah. I think it's quite funny to keep them up and kind of see the journey. But ultimately, I use like a litmus test with creating content, as probably you guys do too. Like, would I listen to this? Like, I also love watching YouTubers, love reading blogs, love listening to podcasts, big fan of your podcast. So I'm like, would I listen to this? Would I watch this? And if I would, I'm like, okay, I'll create it. And if not, maybe it's time to think of a better idea.
But I think it's good to, you know, I think you put so much time and effort into your content creation. I think it's also good to let people know that it's okay that you can earn a living from that too. You know what
massively.
I mean? You know, these things take time and effort and creativity. And
well, it's your career, right? You're working on it full time and you're damn good at it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I noticed on your site that you mentioned that you don't do a lot of sponsored content, but that's kind of a reality for a lot of people who are content creators, like how are they going to make money? So how do you navigate that?
I mean, ultimately, like you said, we're putting out free content here. Yeah. Like the only thing I've ever put something out that people have had to pay for is my book. Yeah. And that's optional. Like you don't have to buy it if you don't want to. I do take on sponsorships like quite often. Every month there's like a couple. But again, I have this, my managers are always like, wow, you like know your gut. And I'm like, I know my gut. I have a complete gut reaction to things, to brands, before I even know what's on the table budget-wise or what even the job is. It's like a brand comes up and I'm either like, hell yeah or hell no. And if it's a hell no, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's like you have to really think about you and what you like and what you're happy to recommend in your audience. Like that authenticity and that trust can go like that.
Yeah,
if so you're not careful. So I really do take a lot of time kind of like marinating on things. But ultimately, maybe I don't, because I'm quite like, no, like that's the end of it. Like I don't want to work with that brand. That's a brand that I don't use. It's a brand I'm not like really into.
Yeah.
Whereas the other day, like Domino's called up and I was like, Domino's is my dream brand sponsorship. Like I'm in. Like I didn't even hear anything else. I was just like, that's all I need to know. Domino's, yes. It's actually quite fun to work with brands. And I think we're at a place where brands trust us. Mm-hmm. It's taken a long time, a really long time for brands to be like, this is our launch, this is our lipstick, do with it what you please. Right. You know best, you've done this for a long time, you know your audience, you know what works. And that's really nice to be at that point instead of having these very rigid briefs with key messages that you would never say. Actually, it's really nice to be at a point where brands just trust you to do your own thing.
What advice would you give to some up and coming influencer or content creator who sees where you are and they're like, that's what I want to do? I'm sure you get asked that all the time.
I think don't forget that it's a long slog. Like it is a marathon. It is not a sprint here at all. I talk to people a lot of the time. They're like, yeah, I've had my blog for 6 months. I'm like, no one read my blog for 6 months. It was a solid year before I had. Exactly. It was just me and my mom just like refreshing it. I swear I got like 100 views just through me and my mom and maybe my sister occasionally looking at it to be like, wow, you're really not revising for your university degree. So it's long. It takes a long time. And I feel really lucky that I've had this like slow and steady growth. Like I'm really lucky with my audience because of that. They're really engaged and they're a really like lovely bunch of people. I haven't had that kind of flash in the pan. Yeah, that like viral video that went viral and all these people came and but they weren't really into like what I was doing. So I feel really lucky to have the audience that I do. So just know that it takes a long time. I mean, it also takes time up in your day. I had a full-time job when I started. Well, I originally was a student. Then I had a full-time job. And I would write my blog post on the train on the way to London, on my way to work. I'd do my day at work. Wow. I'd do my emails on the way home.
This is like Emily Weiss, what she did too.
Yeah.
I mean, she started into the gloss.
The dream. Like, can you imagine? and I did all of my YouTube videos at the weekend and would edit them like throughout the week. I took all my photos at the weekend and would put them up throughout the week. Like, it's a long old slog. And also if there are sponsorships on the table, like don't do that job that makes you feel gross just for the money. It's not worth it. Like it is just not worth it. Be true to yourself and think of long game here. Like always think of long game. Think of this list of brands. Like in 2 years down the line, would you look at that brand and be like, oh, what was I thinking? Like you have to always be thinking long game.
That's so true.
Great advice. We're going to do a round of random questions. They're going to be very random coming at you. What's your favorite piece of clothing that you've ever owned?
I have an And Other Stories black leather jacket that has gold detailing. And I have never seen a leather jacket with gold detailing since.
So true.
And I'm so happy that I picked it up. So happy.
Good one. What song do you know off by heart?
Oh, you know what? That's my special skill.
Really?
Along with map navigation, I know so many songs.
Okay, so, like, let's hear it.
Oh my god, absolutely no way.
I'm always trying to get people to sing on the podcast and they
even offer like a mimosa or something to get her loose.
If you give me a couple of drinks, give me like a glass of rosé, I probably would.
Okay, what would you sing us if we got you drunk?
Fat Joe and Ashanti, What's Up? Like the Fat Joe rap, love it.
You know all the words to that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's the one obsessed. Time that my sister witnessed me do that after I'd had a couple of drinks, and my sister does not think that I'm cool. Like I'm the weird older sister, she's not into it. But after that she was like, I'm actually impressed. It's the only time she's ever been impressed. It was a really big moment for me.
Oh my God. What shows are you binging on right now?
Oh, we're very much in between shows at the moment. Okay. I really want to watch Sex Education on Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out yet.
It's supposed to be very good. We're back rewatching The Office.
Oh, it's so funny.
Which
the original?
I've watched it with the UK original, yeah. I've watched, but I love the American one.
Okay, yeah.
I really love it. And we're rewatching it despite the fact that I've watched it about 5 times.
It's like Donald Trump was Michael Scott. It was like that show was like foreshadowing.
It really was.
Tell us something you're obsessed with that most people have never heard of.
Ooh. In the UK, we have this thing called truffle mayonnaise.
Oh.
So, okay. You know, like black truffle, like truffle that you have in pasta. Truffle mayonnaise is delicious.
It sounds gross.
Really?
No, that sounds amazing.
You're not a mayonnaise
fries? Oh, with French fries?
French fries. I mean, sometimes I like, even just have it on toast. Like I have it on bread. Like
decadent.
Oh my God. Yeah, have it on bread and then like dip it in a dippy egg.
Oh.
Oh my word. Wow. Yeah. I have to control myself with that.
Okay.
Who or what was your biggest teacher?
Oh, I love this question. I would say my dad. He is a very ambitious man. He grew up like on benefits in a council estate and then met my mom, got a job and did night school to like, he didn't have any qualifications when he left school, not very good ones. So he did night school when I was a baby. And there's like photos of me like asleep on him as he's like doing his revision for his night school. Aww. And put himself through like exams so he could do better at work. He's actually my bookkeeper now.
Really?
Yeah, which means that he knows all of my expenses, which is terrifying. But he's
black leather jacket with gold accessories.
Like, he's like, Anna, stop, please. No, but he's been such an inspiration to me. And especially with all my blogging, my parents are so supportive. I'm so lucky with that. And when I was just doing it on the side and I had a full-time job, he would commute up to London with me because his job was in London as well. And we'd sit there and he'd be like, okay, well, if you do this and you do that and like, I'll help you out here. And then you can like, he ultimately like pushed me to go full time with it and has been such a support.
What are you most grateful for right now?
Health is always like a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my word, my poor friend Zana has just had like life changing surgery while on holiday in the Maldives.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, she's doing fine now. But you see that thing. I mean, she's younger than me. Like these things happen.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, I'm very helpful, like very grateful for my health and feeling able. And that's great. Also just really grateful for my readers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent a long time writing this book and it could have just like come out and 10 people could have bought it. Yeah. And the fact that people are buying it and leaving words of encouragement about it and being so positive about it and taking photos of it, taking photos of the fact that they've put post-it notes all the way through and like bookmarked certain things to come back to. I'm so grateful for them because without them, I wouldn't be able to do this. Like I wouldn't be here doing even this podcast. So yeah, I feel really grateful for that.
You're such a positive person, but there's got to be something that annoys you. What is that?
I'm a real glass half full kind of gal. What does annoy me? Just rude people. Rude people. I'm not into rude people at all. Like you can say things with a smile if you're sort of like letting someone down or, you know, you're delivering bad news. It doesn't have to be done in like a rude kind of way. I'm still not over the fact that the Uber driver who took me from the airport dropped me off in the middle of nowhere, knowing that I was nowhere near my destination.
Oh my gosh.
With all of my suitcase, all my hand luggage. I'd never been to Canada before.
Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing.
My phone battery was at 3%. I didn't have any signal. Like how I managed to actually get to Alana's house, I do not know.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, you know when just people like, come on, like be a good human. You know?
It's not really that hard.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you are glad that you've tried, but you probably wouldn't do it again?
Okay, I'm going to do that annoying like job interview thing where you turn it around into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
I hated public speaking. Yeah. I would get out of it in any way that I could. Like before I was going to do a public speaking thing, I'd be like, maybe I'll get ill. Like maybe I was like praying for a cold in the morning, like praying that I wouldn't be able to do it for some reason. So for me, public speaking was always something that I would do and be like, I'm never doing that again. I absolutely hate that. But with this book, I've done a book tour around the UK. I did obviously this date in Toronto. So I've done 9 events in the last 4 weeks and I really like it. It's so weird how, I mean, you can't practice public speaking. You can't get 200 people in a room and be like, can you all just sit here whilst I practice? Like you can't, can you? You get really thrown in at the deep end and you just have to do it. And I'm now at the point where I weirdly look forward to that moment. And I'm so proud of myself because at the beginning of the year, that would have been my worst nightmare.
And so what changed? What clicked for you?
I think it is just practice. Yeah. It is just actually practicing and doing it and realizing that all these people in the room, they want, no one is ever not wanting someone who's doing public speaking to not succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone is just looking and they're like, go on, do it. You can do it. And I like look around and you see people smiling back at you and you're like, okay, everyone here is, it's a really positive environment. Why am I so stressed about this?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's annoying that you can't practice, but ultimately practice makes it enjoyable.
Yeah, you're like, where's my Britney mic? Get me out here. I'm doing a TED talk now.
Yeah, seriously though. And I'm really pleased with that because that was something that really like held me back. Yeah. A lot of things,
well, that's really encouraging because I think that's hard for everyone. I've been there before. I don't know how Jill goes on TV all the time. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I think exactly what you're saying is like it, you know, for Marilyn, which I do the show here, and she's like everyone's BFF. She's kind of like Canada's Oprah in a way, but much more lifestyle driven. And she just wants you to do a good job. She's never going to ask you a question that like trips you up. And once you know that, and like same if you're like doing a hosting gig with someone, they're not going to like try to, they're not going to be like, gotcha journalism. Like,
yeah.
You know? So I think you just have to like settle into it and be
that's
you.
That's a good host, right? Help the person out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's a pro.
So our last random question before we get into our Facebook questions from some of our listeners, what's the secret to a good hair day for you?
Oh, do you know what? I'm struggling with the hair at the moment. I had it cut and I had it cut really short for my most recent cut. And it does the flicky thing out at the end. It's very 60s vibe.
Oh my gosh. I like the flicky.
Do you?
Yes.
It's like all flicking out all over the shop. I don't know how to work with it.
And it's so shiny. Has it ever seen dye?
It has. It's grown out.
Okay.
It's grown out. I tried to go blonde. That did not happen. That did not work out for me.
Wow.
So then I went, I don't know if you guys know Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it went Simon Cowell black. I did a box dye. That did not work out well. My favorite hair product and one that I've used for like 7 years, Bumble and Bumble Sunday Shampoo.
Okay.
It's very detoxifying. It's very clarifying. Mm-hmm. Leaves your hair squeaky clean, which apparently isn't the best thing for it, but I love it.
We talked about makeup a little bit. Tell us about some of your Desert Island makeup products. Safi Korn would like to know.
Oh, I was really excited to get to the beauty talk with you guys. I was like, this is our jam. The Lancôme Monsieur Big waterproof mascara is so good.
Okay.
It's the only mascara that I use. I have really like elephant eyelashes and that they're long, but they're straight and they point downwards.
Okay.
So great in like a snowstorm or something. They actually like, they do their evolution, like what they're there for, but not great when you want them to look curled and like reaching sky high. So waterproof mascaras for me, I only ever use waterproof because they're the only thing that holds a curl.
How do you get it off?
Clarins Instant Makeup Remover. Mm-hmm. It's like a biphase.
Yeah,
like you shake it. And yeah, I've tried the Lancôme one. I've tried the L'Oreal. Like, I've tried them all. That is the best one. And also, you need the Surratt Eyelash Curlers. Mm-hmm. They're incredible. Surratt.
What's the brand?
Surratt.
Surratt. Troy Surratt.
Surratt. That's it. Those eyelash curlers combined with that mascara are heaven. Mm-hmm. Absolute heaven. I'm also really big fan of the Cosmetics CC cream, Your Skin But Better.
I'm wearing it right now.
Are you? Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what it is. Like, I will always go back to that.
I have so many tubes of it. It's almost embarrassing. Meanwhile, I have like Dior, Chanel, like whatever.
Can you
same
throw
with
me
you.
One? I'm out of foundation right now. I'm using, believe it or not, I have all the wrong shades in my beauty cupboard.
And
right now I'm using the Laneige Cushion Compact, which is great, but not enough coverage.
Yeah,
there's just something about it. If ever I stray and I try something else, I always come back and I'm like, why did I even bother? Yeah. MAC Face and Body, to be fair, I really like that one. There's ones that kind of come close.
Yeah.
I'm really also into the Charlotte Tilbury Hollywood Flawless Filter at the moment.
Mm, so good.
That, like smeared over the face.
Yeah.
Then I get my IT Cosmetics on a buffer brush and I just smush them both in. Delightful.
Yeah.
Glow, just so glowy.
Which of the IT Cosmetics, which you like the OG?
The OG.
In the gray. Okay.
In the gray. The Radiance one, too glittery.
I think it's good for a little bit older. I've used it, but I agree. I prefer the OG. But I think if you have drier skin, that one is really good.
And the matte one, again, like I just want to be glowy. Mm-hmm. So the matte one doesn't work out for me. But I'd say those three products are just ultimate for me.
So okay. Good. So good. Another listener, Caitlin Nelson, she'd like to know, she says, I'd like to know how you achieve such a clear understanding of your personal style. Specifically, how do you see a piece of clothing and know that's something that I'm going to love for a long time? Sometimes I buy something, I love it in the moment, and then moments later or months later, I wonder, why did I ever like that? I'm pretty intentional about my purchases, don't shop very much, and I still experience this.
I think it's so tough. And again, with like what we're saying about public speaking, it's just like a trial and error kind of thing. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do, and it sounds like this woman is kind of on it. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is definitely something she could do as well, is at the end of each season, I almost do a review in my bullet journal and I write down my most worn and I write down what I think I'm lacking through. Like, I really think, I'm like, okay, what was I missing? Do I not have enough white t-shirts? Is it that I need a belt? Is it that I haven't got enough boots? And I was like really struggling and I actually could have done with like a brown boot, and that's something I don't own. So I kind of do these audits at the end of each season.
I'm actually like, write it down.
Yeah, literally write a list so that next time like winter rolls around, I'm like, okay, like what was I missing?
Yeah.
What did I wear a lot of? And ultimately I have a uniform. Like everything is just a variation of jumper and jeans in some way. And but yeah, the list is really helpful. Really helpful.
I used to shop like that too. I've gotten far less organized, but I used to shop the holes in my wardrobe. I was like, what am I missing?
Is it
you know, t-shirt, or we call it a sweater here or whatnot. So that's great advice. And our last question is from Jasmine Al Hashemi. I'd like to know how your loved ones and especially your partner fits into your lifestyle and career, how your normal friends view it, quote unquote, on the normal. I can imagine it takes up a big chunk of your life and your loved ones might feel invaded in a way.
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. Like I've mentioned, my parents are so supportive and they see how happy this makes me. And so if it means that I don't see them, I mean, they live down the road. I see them like once a week, once every 2 weeks. But ultimately, if I'm traveling and I haven't seen them for a while, they're like, good for you. Like, you're having a great time and you're really happy. That's awesome. Also, my husband, I met before I even started my blog. Mm. So he's been there throughout the whole journey. And again, he is so supportive. My mom the other day was like, you're so lucky to have found him. Like, he's just so, he's happy to kind of be by the sideline. He doesn't want to be a huge part of this, but he's very supportive and ultimately like knows that it takes up a lot of time. He's actually doing a master's at the moment in the evening in his spare time. So if I'm sitting there answering emails till 6, 7 p.m., he's cool with it. How do my normal friends, like in quotation
not
marks,
YouTubers,
non-YouTubers view my job? That's an interesting one. Like, Mark sees the day-to-day of this. Like, my parents, again, like my dad's my bookkeeper. They're very like into this. They see the work. My other friends, again, very supportive. But they're just like, what is this? Like, they don't see the kind of day-to-day grind. And so the thing that they do, which is actually quite nice, they're never really asking me what I'm up to. And I'm quite into that. Like, they've seen the Instagram stories. I don't want to sit there and have to regurgitate everything. And they're quite happy just to talk about employees at work that they're not getting on with or their own work troubles. Like, I've just done an interview where I've sat here and talked about myself for like a solid hour, but I'm not hugely into like my own stuff and like talking about myself. I'm quite happy to sit there and listen and like problem solve with other people. So my other friends kind of, they just like let me be and do my own thing. They love the free hand creams, the free mascaras and the free pillow sprays. They're like the three categories of things which they will fight over like till the death.
The pillow sprays. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, the sleepy pillow
sprays. Yeah. I love them too.
Yeah. Everyone is in. They're like, have you got any of those pillow sprays? I'm like, no, because they're the most in demand thing. It's so funny. So they're very supportive, but kind of just let me be. And that I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has honestly been so much fun. And we'll make sure we link to everything and to your book.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe just give us your handles.
Yeah. What's your handles again?
I'm at the Anna Edit on Instagram and Twitter and theannaedit.com on, that's my blog.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.